How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca or Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. I'd like to bring to you some thoughts, mainly from verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain filleth the pools. Now, he has described in the verses before that who this is. This is not a dead alien sinner. This is a child of God, saved by the grace of God, born of the Spirit of God. And he's very poor and needy. Passing through the Valley of Baca. The important thing to me is that you pass through it. You don't stop and dwell there. Because it's not a very good place to be. It's certainly not a place to stop and dwell. And what I can tell, and I think I can say that from experience as well as what the scriptures say. The Valley of Baca was a dry, arid place. It was a valley. There wasn't any natural water or pools there. There wasn't that which would encourage or make happy or bless those while they're in that valley. And yet I believe the child of God who loves the Lord and prays for God's presence with him often needs to go through the Valley of Baca. But he needs to go through it. Sometimes in my life, I feel like I lived there and have put down roots. And all you can do is ask the Lord and turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, help. Valley of Baca is difficult to find much information on it. In fact, some of the historians are not even sure where it was. There's some pretty good instances and illustrations of things that happened. It seems like when Israel was delivered across the Jordan River, very soon they went through a place. And it was a terrible place, a horrible place. But they're in the land of Canaan on their way to where the Lord would bring them finally. And it mentions Zion, mentions the city of our living God. One of the ways that I believe that the scriptures describe the valley and the experiences there is found in 1 Samuel chapter 5. Now, in that particular instance, David had been king over Israel, and he had, 2 Samuel, he had realized that he'd come and it shown to him that the Lord had established him as king in Israel. Verse 12 there says, "And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted the king, his kingdom, for his people Israel's sake." Not for David's sake, but for his people Israel's sake. Now, David had come to a realization. You know, he had had a rough time with Saul, and he'd had to flee, and he ruled 7.5 years in Hebron. But the time had come, and he had moved to Jerusalem and established the fort there, and Hiram came and built him a house, and it had a stronghold down into it. He was the king. Where the word of the king is, there's power. But he had to be recognized by God first and by the people for his word to carry in effect. And it had come to this point where he perceived that God had established him king over Israel. And it mentions some other things, but it almost immediately the enemy came and heard about David and his exaltation in the king there in Jerusalem and Zion, the Philistines. And so they gathered up a vast host of people. And they came down and spread abroad in the valley of Rephaim. I'm not pronouncing that right. Rephaim. And here's the enemy. These are the ones that David had already been at war with in a lot of stories in that. But David was wise enough to know that they would have to be confronted. But he was wise enough to know that he needed to take it to the Lord. He was a man that depended upon the Lord. So he took it to the Lord and asked the Lord, "Do I go out against them? Will you go with me? Will you be with me? Shall I go?" And the Lord told him, said, "Yeah, go. I'll be with thee. And I'll deliver them into thy hand." And so David obediently took his army and he went out and fought against the Philistines, defeated them and put them to the run. The ones that lived fled. They fled so fast they left their gods, their idols, behind. What did David do with those? In our day and time, they had gathered them up and put them in the treasury. They burned them. And so David goes back. He's back in his stronghold. Actually, when he heard they were there, he went down in the stronghold and they told him, "You come out." So he's back there again. And the Philistines gather together their army again. And they come, and they're back in that same valley of Rephaim. They're there determined to find out all they can about King David, and he's a threat to them. And they're determined to get rid of him. So there's the same enemy come back to challenge him once again. And I imagine by this time he says, what more can I do? But, you know, he's wise enough. He took it to the Lord again. Said, Lord, shall I go out against them? You know, this time, I mean, the Lord had already given him an answer. Most warriors, most kings would have, hey, I've already taken it to the Lord, and he told me to go, and he helped me defeat him, so I'm just going. But David didn't. He took it to the Lord again. Lord, shall I go out again? This time the Lord says, no. Not this way. He said, you go and you fetch a compass, or you go around behind them. Don't go like you did before. He just went up and challenged them, and they had a battle, and David and his armies won. He said, you go around behind him, and you go over against the mulberry trees. You know what the word for mulberry trees is? Baca. It's in that valley. Not only did he not let him go face the enemy head on, he sent him over to a dangerous valley. There's no water there, no sustenance, and said, you go out there and you stop. And you wait. That's not a place you want to wait, but the Lord said, wait. You know, when the Lord tells us to go, we need to go. When he says stop, we need to stop. Amen. When he tells you go over here to a place you don't want to go, now, that has no reference to me coming here. I wanted to come. But I did put it to the Lord. And he opened the way, so here I am. And he asked me at Chambers Creek, is there any way you're going to come to camp meeting? I said, there's no way in the world. But my grandson came. He said, I'm going to camp meeting. I want you to go with me. Let's go. David is there over, right up against the grove of trees that's in Baca. And the word Baca, if you look in the dictionary, it comes from, it's got two different meanings. One of them is weeping. Weeping. Kind of tells you what kind of place that is. It's a sad place to be. It's a place where you feel like you're forsaken. David's there, and the Lord told him, and he's obedient, and he goes over there, but he says, you just wait. And David had reason to weep there. He's king of Israel. He defeated them. And now the Lord says, you go over here to this place that just seems like the last place you'd want to go, and you wait. They say that those mulberry trees are not anything like the mulberry trees we see here in Texas. I've got a fruitless mulberry in my front yard, and I'm glad it's fruitless. I grew up on one where it wasn't fruitless, and I know what they're like. Yep. I know what mulberries taste like right off the tree. But different kind of mulberry trees, and the dictionary people, historians, like it to a balsam tree, which sheds water about the size of tears. I don't know much about a balsam tree, just what I've read. And this place was full of weeping trees. That's what they call them, the weeping trees. Just everything about this valley and everything in it is a hard place to be. And here David, he's got his army They're ready to march, but they're just sitting there, or standing there, or however, they're waiting. But there was a certain thing that was going to happen for him to move. He said, you wait there until you hear the sound of a going. Y'all know what a sound of a going is? It's a sound that an army makes when they're decked out and they're marching. The chariots are rolling, the horses are there, the army's decked out, and the army is marching. And the sound is a special sound, and you can hear it from a long ways off, and you can tell there's a marching army coming, and they're marching. And you hear the sound they make going. Now, that's the sound of a going. But he said, the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. You wait till you hear the sound of a going. He's in the valley of Baca. You wait there till you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. Well, the Lord stirred up the trees, I don't know, wind, whatever, and those leaves began to turn and those trees were banging against each other and making a sound that carried a long ways that exactly sounded like a going, an army marching. You know, that would put fear in the eyes of the enemy. And so far, David is still standing there. The Lord is sending a message to the enemy that there's an army coming for you. And it's the leaves and the mulberry trees making the sound of a going. And then when he says to David, you wait there till you hear the sound of a going, and then you bestir thyself. That means you get up and move. You get on the move. It's also in Chronicles. And he said, you get up and move and you go, because then you'll know that the Lord is going out before you. Amen. You ever think and wonder if you're in a place and you're wanting to go and you wonder if you're supposed to go and you're looking for something to tell you where to go? Well, the Lord will let you know if you're to go, and it'll always indicate that he's gone out before you. Amen. Now, if the Lord has gone out before you, it's okay to go, and you should go. And he said, you bestir yourself, and you go. And they did, and they defeated the army again. When I told Brother Jeb, there's no way I could come up here, I was so despondent, because I love to come to camp meeting. I love to come to Stratton. But I have an eye problem. I can't see to drive that far. And so I said, there's no way I can go. My grandson showed up. I'm going to Stratton. I want you to go with me. I heard the sound of a going. Amen. I had turned it over to the Lord. Yeah, and that was his answer to me. You go with him. You can hear that sound of going in a lot of different ways. But what it is, it's a man or a woman, a child of God, that's in trouble. Perhaps mourning for his own sins. Mourning for the way of the world in which we live. Mourning for this. But most of the time, he's sin sick. He's in the valley of Baca. And he takes it to the Lord. It's a dry land. It's a fearful place. There's danger in the valley. It's better to be on the mountaintop where the house of God is. But sometimes he lets us go. Sometimes I think he sends us to the valley because we need to learn something. We need to learn to depend upon the Lord and call upon Him and turn it over to Him. Isaiah kind of feels this same thing because he spoke about the poor and the needy in Isaiah 41. He said, when the poor and the needy seek water, there's no water in Baca or Baca. There's no water there. When the poor and the needy seek water, when our souls are thirsting for God and hungering for righteousness, and we're only going to, like this man, he's seeking for God, his soul even faints for God. He needs God. David needs God so much. And God said, yo. So Isaiah said, when the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, I, the Lord, will hear them. And he's going to answer. He said, I'll open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. Amen. And it's a good chapter to read if you want to go read it some more. Now, I thought of a couple of men in Luke 18, I think it is. The Bible says there's two men that went up into the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee. The other was a publican. And, you know, you think, what's a Pharisee doing in the temple to pray? Now, Bible does tell us he prayed thus with himself. He was wanting to justify himself. But that was uncommon for a Pharisee to go into the temple to pray. Bible tells us that they went out to the street corners and to be seen of men and the best seats in the councils and the banquets. They wanted to be seen of men. That's the Pharisees' way. They don't care about God. They want men to, their reward is to be seen and recognized by men. You know anybody that fits that? We all do. That was the Pharisees' way. But this one went into the temple to pray. Now, his prayer was not the kind of prayer that helped him out, because at least he went into the temple. He was seeking God's divine favor on who he was. So I guess he thought the best way to do it, just tell God how good he was and what all he had done. And he does a pretty good job of that. He lives a life that he thought was exemplary. He paid tithes and all he possessed. He fasted twice every week. He just thanked God that, I thank thee, O Lord, that I'm not like other men are. And there were plenty of men that was the way he was glad that he wasn't. Now, I don't know what you think about this Pharisee. They don't name him. But if he was just wanting recognition, he'd find that out on the street corner. And the Bible says that's the reward they want. And they get their reward. They're seen of men and praised of men. And I'm not justifying him, but he went into the house to seek God's recognition. But his problem was he wasn't seeking God's recognition unless God would do it on his terms. Lord, let me tell you how good I am, and you just really need to bless me, or you owe it to me, because this is how I am. And I'm especially glad I'm not like this poor publican, because that was the other one that came. You know, the publican, according to what I read, he's a tax collector, and they're usually pretty well off financially, whether it's good or, and sometimes they're pretty sorry about taking money that don't belong to them. I mean, that's typical publican of that day, tax collector. I'm not relating it to any tax collectors in this room. I'm not relating it. I'm just telling you what that was like. Now, they're pretty looked down on. They were pretty much of the hierarchy in Israel in that day. They were about on the bottom rung. God, I think I'm not like other men are, especially this publican. I don't think that Pharisee heard the sound of a going at all. I don't think he got the least bit of encouragement from God, because the publican stood afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes, but he smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You had ever had a feeling like that? The best you try to do, you've just failed. The best you've tried to do has just revealed to you that you're a sinner still. And all you can do is cry for mercy. That's someone that is seeking the Lord and knows that it's only the Lord that can strengthen him. You know what? I believe that a publican heard the sound of a going right then, because it says that, I tell you, that this man, that publican, went home justified, declared to be righteous, came from God. He went home justified rather than the other.
Amen.
Now, maybe you think I'm taking liberties with this that don't belong. But over here in the 86th Psalm, it says, who passing through, that's my hope when I get downcast and troubled and I take it to the Lord, Lord, don't leave me here, take me on. David was writing this, but he also wrote the 23rd Psalm and said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he goes on. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I think that's kin to Baca. Though I walk through this valley, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, David knew what he was talking about. Who going through the valley of Baca maketh it a well. It's interesting. Makes it a well in a place that there is no water.
Amen.
But this well is like a fountain. If you read over in Chronicles, it said it maketh him a well. Who's the him? That's the Lord. He has made the Lord the only thing worthwhile in his life when he's in this valley of Baca, and he maketh him a well. Just like the Lord told the woman at the well, she asked to drink of him. He said, you can drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you had asked me, I would have given thee living water, this springs up into everlasting life. It maketh him a well. No matter how downcast you are in this life, no matter what's happening to you, dear child of God, call upon the Lord. You need him. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled.
Amen.
He'll answer you and deliver you and lead you out and through the valley of Baca. It said, the rain filleth the pools. Well, it rains enough to fill pools. I didn't see any pools out here, but I saw the evidence of rain. Rain's a wonderful, glorious thing. But you know what? You study word study, and that word rain, R-A-I-N, it means that liquid stuff that comes. It says it's kin to a teacher. One that's teaching. What did I come up here for? Because I'm expecting the rain, spiritual rain, that drops and distills as it do. His doctrine drops like the rain, distills as it do. I'm expecting to hear that. I came expecting to hear the evidence that the Lord had gone out before me to come up here, because I've been here before. I know what I've gotten before. I've heard the sound of a going before while I like to come to meetings like this, because I hear the sermon teach about a God of victory, a Christ that came, suffered, bled, and died on the cross, then cried, "It is finished," and finished that work, and there's nothing left to do. He's delivering us through the valley of Baca. When I hear them preach about those women that went to the tomb early in the morning, going to anoint the dead body of Jesus Christ, and they got up worried about who would roll the stone away. They got there, the stone was rolled away, an angel sitting there, "Why seek ye the dead among the living?" I believe they heard the sound of a going. The Lord is alive. He's marching. He's going. He's on the move. And when I hear them preach about the Lord coming again, coming back, when I hear the resurrection of bodies preached, I hear the sound of a going all over, because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. The Lord is our shepherd here, but he went away and prepared a place for us in his Father's house. He said, "If I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." When I hear the resurrection preached and the second coming of the Lord, I can hear the sound of a going. And I'm telling you, my friend, the Lord is coming back again. He's on his march, and he's coming. And I feel sometimes I can hear the sound of a going right now, that he's on his way back now to get us. I'm not setting a date. I'm not that smart. But I know he's coming, because he said he was going to come. He promised that he would come back to this world and gather us up. He's not coming back to rule and reign here. He's coming back to get his elect, his love, the ones that he gave his life for. And you can hear him on his way back. Yes, as Brother Sonny prayed in his prayer, we live in a terrible world, a desperate situation. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows what's going on, and he's still in control. And he will come and take vengeance on them that know not God.
Amen.
And them that care not. Them that even have pleasure in others that act like they do, because they want to squash the name of Christ in every way. And the Lord will come and judge that. I don't know if he'll, I don't know how he'll do it or when. I don't know if he'll do it in time, or at least by the, when he comes back, the second coming for his jewels and robs the graves, you're going to hear the sound of a going, because he's coming with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and we'll hear the sound of a going, or a coming. The Lord is moving. He's on his way. He's going to deliver his people.
Amen.
One way or another, we're going to be delivered from this cruel, vain world. And I'm looking for that day. Sometimes I think I hear that sound. He's on his way. We turn it over to the Lord. He's come back when he gets ready. He will take vengeance on the wicked. He said he would. He will. He's coming back for us. He's going to rob the graves of both the just and the unjust. He's going to separate them like a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He's going to put his sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. He's going to turn to those on the right hand. He's sitting on the right hand of his Father in his Father's throne. And the Father looks through him at us. He says to them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He didn't have to go back and prepare heaven for us. That was done from the world before the world began. But he's coming back to usher us into our eternal home. I'm waiting for that sound of a going, and I think